Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick. And today we've got a vault episode for you. This one originally published March 15th, 2022. It's part one of our series on Finn McCool. But hey, we should be back with all new content for you starting tomorrow. But for today, let's get right into the Finn McCool saga.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick.
And it is the week of St. Patrick's Day, so I thought it would be fun to turn our attention to Irish mythology once more. And in this case, we're going to be considering the mythic hero Finn McCool, a noted warrior, wonder worker. We're going to get into all of that. But I guess what I was especially interested in, what kind of pulled me in initially, was his thumb. The thumb of knowledge upon which he was said to suck, or to at least to place the thumb inside of his mouth in order to receive great insight, or perhaps even see into the future.
Yeah, Rob, I was going to ask. So this topic was your idea, and I was wondering, did you come to it thumb first or hero first? Was it like you're reading about Finn McCool and all the legends, and then you come across this thumb story and you're like, let's talk about that? Or were you reading about legends of thumbs?
I was actually reading about some other mythological figures, and then I was like, well, what am I doing? It's St. Patrick's Day. Irish mythology is so rich. There's got to be something we haven't talked about on the show before. And then I started reading about Finn McCool, and when I read about the thumb, which I somehow either had never read about before or had forgotten about, I was instantly in. Now, Finn itself is a common Irish hero name for characters of all genders, related to finned, or meaning white or fair, I've read, but refers to wisdom rather than skin tone, according to the Encyclopedia of Celtic Mythology and Folklore by Patricia Monaghan.
Yeah, I was reading that Finn is a variant of the Irish name Fionn, spelled like F-I-O-N or F-I-O-N-N, which means white or fair, but usually I think referring to hair color. And there are some legends of Finn McCool that say he had white hair from an early age, possibly due to some kind of magical rapid aging and de-aging procedure.
Huh. All right. Well, I mean, it would make sense, like the association between like white hair and age and wisdom. And therefore, if someone had prematurely white hair, there could perhaps be some air of, oh, they have the wisdom of an older man or an older woman, despite the fact that they are otherwise quite young.
And speaking of the variant of the name Finn versus Fionn, I think it's worth saying at the beginning that there
are two different ways of spelling the name that are essentially the same character or slight variations on the same character. One is commonly spelled in the anglicized version, just like we're saying it, Finn McCool. But the other one is spelled more like Fionn, and then the last name is Mac, C-U-M-H-A-I-L or H-A-I-L-L, which from what I understand, I know pronunciation a lot of these Irish words is notoriously tricky for English speakers like us. But I think that is also pronounced pretty much just McCool.
So Finn McCool, great name, by the way. It's one of these names that, especially today with connotations of cool and coolness, it's instantly interesting as a hero's name. But if you're not familiar with him, he stands alongside Cuchulainn as one of the two great heroes of Irish mythology. He's a much later hero than Cuchulainn, and like any hero of myth, there are varying tales about him. It is interesting that both characters are known for entering altered states of consciousness. Finn for his prescient thumb state, where he can, as we'll discuss, can place his thumb inside of his mouth and with some other chanting effects, stare into the future or at least gain some sort of supernatural wisdom. And Cuchulainn, as we discussed in our past episode on Cuchulainn, was able to enter the warp spasm in battle, where he's in this altered state of barbarian rage.
He sort of transforms into a semi-monster.
Yeah, kind of like a Hulk mode, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Finn McCool, what's the origin story, right? Every good hero has an origin story. Well, we're told that his father died when he was very young, either due to a crime of his own doing or some conflict with a rival clan. There are different variations on that. Either way, he ends up being raised by his mother and Monaghan in the book that I referenced earlier stresses the importance of female energy in his raising, especially as his mother Myrna claimed divine descent from Nuada of the Silver Hand, the first king of the Tuatha Dé Danann. The Tuatha Dé Danann were the sort of fairy folk, godlike beings of Irish mythology.
And I would say often having a rather ambiguous character and relationship to humanity. They're not like consistently either enemies or helpers. They can kind of be either one.
Yeah, you see a lot of their spirit reflected in some of the modern ideas of elves in fantasy settings. You know, they're superior to humans, but they are of the previous age. They're maybe not as invested in this world as they once were, that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, and according to some legends, like their strength in this world is waning. Like I know there's one story that involves Finn McCool and his band of warriors, the defenders of Ireland, who we'll talk about more as we get on. But they in one story, they end up going on a journey across the sea to an island where they have been, I think, sort of lured by members of the Tuatha Dé Danann to come join them and sort of re-energize them or provide supplemental strength to the waning strength of these beings from a past age.
By the way, if you've seen the movie Hellboy 2, I believe antagonists in that film are supposed to be the Tuatha Dé Danann. I believe, in fact, that we're supposed to see Nuada as the primary antagonist there. That's the one that Hellboy has a big fight with.
Mm.
Anyway, so Finn McCool, he's raised by his aunt and his foster mother, the druid Bodmal, and he's trained in combat by the warrior woman Luthus Lurgan, and he accidentally kills her in combat. And then the incident with the Salmon of Knowledge occurs around this time. We're going to come back to that because it's quite a tale. And also shortly after this, he ends up actually taking the name Finn after he defeats his first enemy in combat. But then he goes on to study his craft further under the warrior woman Buanan, as well as the male warrior Sethern MacFountain. Basically, he completes his Jedi training. He becomes this near-perfect warrior who also has this ability to tap into hidden wisdom or see into the future. And then he assembles this band of warriors to defend his province of Leinster, still called that today, in the southeast and east of Ireland. And from the here on out, the story, you know, includes various exploits and adventures, and we'll touch on some of these. But he also engages in a number of romantic conquests. They don't always go so well. His death is told in various stories, and depending on where you're hearing them or reading them, his death is said to have taken place at different points, different places spread across Ireland and Scotland. And there's also this idea that he may have been reborn as the hero Maungan. Still other tales say that he did not die at all, but that he and his Fianna wait in a cave to one day rise up and defend Ireland once more. Very much in keeping with the tales of King Arthur, how one day King Arthur will return and rise up and protect England.
Yeah, when I was reading these stories of Finn McCool, I kept noticing other parallels to King Arthur because not only is there this idea that he's, you know, resting somewhere, maybe one day to be called up to defend his nation again, but there is also a similarity to the Lancelot and Guinevere story in that there's a story where Finn McCool's wife falls in love with one of his greatest warriors, a man named Diarmid, who obviously it reminds me a lot of Lancelot and Guinevere, and mm-hmm. they ultimately come to, I think not battle each other, but I believe the legend goes that Diarmid has to go fight a boar, and then the boar gravely wounds him, and that Finn McCool could save him by offering up water from his hands that would be healing because of his magic powers, but he essentially denies that healing power to his rival, and he dies.
Yeah, that's right. One of the side effects, I guess, of acquiring the Thumb of Knowledge is that we're told that Finn McCool can form his hands into a cup, collect water, and that water will have healing properties. Pretty great as even just a second tier superpower, if you ask me.
Well, it feels like one of those pylon powers, you know, where, you know, I really like a folk hero who has one power, and it's a pretty specific power. But I don't know, the legendary heroes just tend to accumulate more and more powers over the, you know, in the telling over the years, at least it seems that way.
Yeah, in the same way that sometimes you'll have a mad scientist in a fictional tale where they seem to have too many interests, too many technologies at their disposal. Like,
yes.
you know, are you a time traveler or are you a power armor guy? Are you building robots or do you have an invisibility belt? Like you need to like really focus in on one and exploit that, because otherwise we really don't know what we're dealing with scene to scene.
I just make giant scorpions. That's it.
There you go. It behooves you to specialize in the realm of mad science or being a mythological hero.
That's right. You know those giant scorpions are quality. It takes focus to make them.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, let's get into the exploits of Finn McCool here, and we're going to start with a big one, one that if you're familiar with Finn McCool and you're otherwise not that familiar with Irish mythology, you probably know this one.
Yes, though it's weird because I think this might be one of the best known Finn McCool stories, but I think it's also sort of an outlier in that it portrays Finn McCool with different properties than he usually has. And I think these legends probably also come later than a lot of the other legends.
Mm.
But anyway, this one we're going to talk about is a piece of geomythology, a story created to explain geological features of the Earth. Now, a lot of the geomyths we've looked at in previous episodes explain big masses of rock or bodies of water as some part of the body of a god, whether living or dead. But this story is one of the other common types, which is explaining natural formations as architecture that was built by the demigods of old. And the feature explained in this story is known as the Giant's Causeway. So to start with the plain observation of nature, there is a stretch of coast along the north of Northern Ireland in County Antrim that is covered with tens of thousands of hexagonal columns of basalt. Now, this is not the only place in the world that has columns of this type. You might have seen them at Devil's Tower in Wyoming or other places around the world. I know there are some in the Northwest in the United States, like in Washington State. But you can find these in various places. They're usually made of basalt, but sometimes other volcanic rocks will take this form. And if you haven't ever seen these things known as columnar basalt, you should look them up because they're absolutely beautiful. And they're one of those natural formations that just doesn't look natural at all. I think many people who look at columnar basalt, they consult their intuitions and they immediately come to think this is artificial. Somebody built this. Somebody carved these rocks. And it might be an interesting question to ask why our intuitions work this way. Why you look at these columns of rock that mostly take the form of a hexagon and think that this has got to be made by a person or by a god instead of by nature. I guess it looks so strange because we tend to assume that clean, regular lines and angles, like the kind we see in polygons, like a hexagon, are just not to be found in nature. Nature should have, a more irregular, fractal kind of edges.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it, along with the rough uniformity of everything. Like, it's not just, here's an interesting rock that has these properties. No, look at all of them. It looks like there was some sort of an industrial scale, alien brick making project here.
Right. They look like they were extruded out of a machine.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's been this stretch of the coast along Northern Ireland that has had these columns there for millions of years. And over the centuries, there arose some folk tales in order to explain the origins of these columns.
Yeah. So the Giant's Causeway, again, this is the Irish site in question. It's composed of roughly 40,000 interlocking columns. And again, this is due to a volcanic fissure eruption. No alien brick making involved here. This all went down roughly 50 to 60 million years ago. That's what we know now. But according to Irish mythology, however, it was built by Finn McCool.
And not just any Finn McCool, not the regular sort of a superhero Finn McCool. This is a giant Finn McCool.
Yes, when you read accounts of this, generally he's described as a giant, despite the fact that he's not really described as a giant in any other telling. Finn McCool is generally viewed as a human hero or a hero with human proportions. It's only in this case where he's gigantic. Now, one thing I did read was that there's some thinking that this formation may have originally been associated with other mythological creators. There may have been different geomythology in play. It might have been attributed to the monstrous Fomorians, which were these giant race that were said to be previous occupiers of the territory who were cast out at one point or another. So it could have been later on where someone's like, well, the Fomorians are all right, but Finn McCool is awesome. Let's adjust the story somewhat, and Finn McCool becomes the creator of the Giant's Causeway. The basic idea with Finn McCool and these formations is that we have these formations in Ireland, and then we also have very similar formations found at Fingal's Cave on the Isle of Staffa in Scotland. And the idea here is that, well, on both sides here, we must have the remnants of a mythological bridge between these two lands. And so the idea is that Finn is said to have built the bridge as a means of reaching the other side and battling a rival giant.
Yes, and this is the tale of the Giant's Causeway. So there appear to be a lot of versions of this story. From what I can tell, this is a folk tale that emerges from oral tellings without a canonical original text. So I think it's pointless to try to quest after the original here. I'm just going to tell it as a kind of synthesis of the multiple versions I have read. I have no idea which form of this story is oldest or could claim to be closest to the original. But here it goes in my synthesized form. Once upon a time, there was a giant named Finn McCool who lived in Ireland with his wife Una. And Finn McCool was brave and strong, but he was also hot-tempered and rash. And far across the water in Scotland, there was another giant. This was a nasty brute named Benan Donner, or the Red Man. And Benan Donner used to harass Finn McCool and his neighbors, shouting vicious slander and hair-raising taunts across the water at them. You can imagine the kind of the French taunter from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. Just brutal, brutal put-downs. Your mother was a hamster, all that kind of stuff. And Finn became so furious at the other giant that he uprooted an enormous boulder and hurled it at the Scottish ogre, but he missed, and the boulder landed in the sea, and this boulder became the Isle of Man. And so Finn sat around stewing, thinking, I must destroy this fool, but I don't want to get my feet wet by swimming over there, so how can I reach him? And then he came up with an idea. He would build a bridge out of stone. So between the Irish shore and the rocky coast of Scotland, he put together a stone causeway that would allow him to walk all the way across. And this causeway was the origin of the basalt pillars that we can still see today. But of course, the pillars don't go all the way across anymore. So what happened there? Well, having completed his causeway, Finn, he gets his blood up and he decides to run across the sea to the other side and give Benan Donner a good walloping to shut him up. But unfortunately, as brave and strong as Finn McCool was, once he got a look at the Scottish giant up close, his blood ran cold, because Benan Donner was a monster, a beast, even bigger and stronger than Finn himself, and Finn knew that he would not win a fair fight with Benan Donner. So, bravely ran away. When danger reared its ugly head, he turned his yellow tail and fled. And so he ran back home to hide. But unfortunately, now that he had built a causeway, it could be crossed in both directions. So Ben and Donner soon came over the bridge to Ireland looking for Finn. Finn did not know what to do. But fortunately, his wife Una was diabolically clever, much cleverer than her husband, and she came up with a plan. And it goes like this. Una dressed Finn up as a baby and made him lay down inside a giant cradle. You with me so far?
Yeah.
So soon Ben and Donner came knocking at their door, and he said, "Open the door, Finn McCool. Come out and fight me, and I'll give you a beating you'll never forget." Instead, Una opened the door, and she welcomed Ben and Donner inside and showed him hospitality. She said, "My husband is not home right now, but he'll be glad to fight you when he gets back. In the meantime, please sit down and help yourself to some bread. I baked it just the way my husband likes it." So Ben and Donner broke off a piece of the loaf and bit into it, but immediately he spat it out, and he shouted, "This bread cracks my teeth!" Because secretly, Una had baked bars of iron into the dough. And so she feigned, she feigned ignorance and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't think it would trouble such a strong man as yourself. My husband loves that recipe. Even our baby eats it that way." And this directed Ben and Donner's attention to the baby, which was, again, Finn himself in disguise as a baby in a crib. And so when Ben and Donner went over and got a look at the child, he said to himself, "If the baby is already an iron-eating giant as he lies in his crib, his father must be the size of a mountain. I cannot beat this guy." So here at this moment, Ben and Donner is seized with fear. He is fully bought into Una's trickery, and Ben and Donner runs away. And as he flees, he destroys the bridge of stone that Finn had built so that his enemy can never come and find him. And all that's left is the part of the bridge on the Irish shore and the part on the Scottish side. Again, that's near the place called Fingal's Cave. And this is one of my favorite showdown stories of all time now. Defeating your enemy by dressing as a baby. It is so good.
I love it. Yeah, you think you're going to get just this giant battle throwdown, and instead you get this this comedic game of deception. I love it.
Now, there is another version that actually has a fight, though it involves a lot of the same elements. So this other version I was reading about was in a book that I know you're going to reference later, the one by James MacKillop called Fionn MacCool, Celtic Myth in English Literature, published by Syracuse University Press in 1985. And MacKillop draws attention to a version of the story told in William Carleton's The Legend of Knockmany, and this is from the mid-19th century. And the variations in Carleton's version are that the other giant is not named Ben and Donner, but is named Cú Chulainn.
Ah.
Interesting. That's the name of another Irish folk hero that originally had nothing to do with this story. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's just sort of blending together of strong man in folk stories.
Or just realizing we've got to have these two characters fight each other. You know, this is like the Batman right. v Superman of the day.
Well, so many elements of the story are the same as the version I just told, but some things are different. This version includes a detail that when Finn returns home to Una, he says he's afraid that he will be skivered like a rabbit if he has to fight Cú Chulainn. But Una knows that Cú Chulainn's power is contained in the middle finger of his right hand. He has a magic middle finger. Mm-hmm. And she knows if you can compromise the finger, you sap his beastly magic and he'll lose his strength. He won't be able to fight. So it's kind of like, Samson's hair or something, except this is the middle finger of his right hand. So like in the version I told, Cú Chulainn comes over and Una feeds him bread with metal, or I think in this case it's stones of granite inside, and he breaks his teeth on the bread. Then when he hears that even their baby eats this bread, Cú Chulainn is incredulous and he has to go feel the baby's teeth. Again, the baby is actually Finn McCool in disguise. And when Cú Chulainn reaches inside the baby's mouth to feel its teeth, Finn bites off the magic middle finger, and now the giant is as weak as a mortal man, so Finn beats him up very easily.
All right, so it started out like it was going to be like this big throwdown, but again, we have a comic game of deception in play once more.
Yes, and MacKillop points out that in this story, it's interesting that Finn is victorious, but only after both showing cowardice in running away from the initial fight and resorting to trickery. Trickery that wasn't even his idea. It's not even like he's a cunning fox like Odysseus. Una is the real hero of the story. She comes up with the whole idea of how to, like, she has the knowledge about the magic middle finger, and she comes up with the whole plan. So, and he has to dress as a baby in order to defeat his enemy. So it's a weird kind of simultaneous victory and humiliation. He wins essentially by no virtue of his own. But there are a couple of things I kept thinking about with the story that are going to tie into what you'll bring up in more detail when you talk about the Thumb of Knowledge. Because, so first of all, it's a story in which Finn McCool dresses up as a giant baby. And one thing that we know Finn McCool did in other legends is suck on his thumb in order to gain insight or knowledge, which, of course, is associated with, you know, that's what babies do. But the other thing is that Finn McCool has to bite off the magic middle finger of his enemy in order to defeat him and steal his power. So his enemy has a magic finger in this story, just like Finn McCool does, though the magic thumb is not really mentioned in this telling.
Yeah, I mean, this all has to be connected. I don't remember tales of Cucullin's magic middle finger coming up when we researched the hero previously. And clearly the idea of Finn McCool, who has this thumb of knowledge, the idea of him dressing up as a baby feels like, it feels like a perfect creation. Like, you can imagine that just being, you know, whatever the exact origins are, and we'll get into that, of the thumb of knowledge. It just makes sense that somebody later would think of, but what if he also acted like a baby? You can't help but go there, because, of course, babies putting fingers and or their thumb in their mouth, sucking on their thumb, it's a universal reality, and it's been you see it reflected in various myths and traditions around the world. So you couldn't help but go in that direction.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Now, before we move on, I did want to come back to the geological question of what actually causes hexagonal columns to form in volcanic rock. Like, what is the actual scientific origin of the rocks that were believed to be part of the Giant's Causeway?
Giants, right? Yeah.
So these columns are usually but not always found in a type of rock called basalt, which is a type of igneous rock that's created when lava flows out of a volcano or out of a fissure in the earth and then cools. And under certain conditions, the cooling process of that liquid lava can give rise to columns like the kind we see at the Giant's Causeway. So when molten lava settles and begins to cool, what happens is its surface begins to set, turning from a glowing orange liquid into this solid dark shape. And this cooling happens from the outside in. So the part exposed to the atmosphere, especially I think when this occurs in water, the part that's exposed to either air or water, that cools the fastest. And then the parts underneath retain their heat the longest. And as the surface cools, it also contracts. It literally shrinks in volume. So this is something that's common to all kinds of materials. As their temperature goes down, they shrink in volume. You can observe this if you ever seen videos, Rob, of people freezing balloons in liquid nitrogen.
I feel like I have. What happens when you freeze a balloon in liquid nitrogen?
It's really interesting. It shrinks. So you can take a balloon that's inflated and kind of plunge it into liquid nitrogen, and then it shrinks down. It looks like it's completely deflated, but then if you take it out of the liquid nitrogen, sit it on a table or something, it will gradually, as it warms up, reinflate again. So like what's going on? It's almost as if it's magic, but what's happening is the cooling of the gas inside the balloon causes that gas to contract, and it shrinks down and down and down until the balloon is essentially deflated. Then when it warms back up, it expands again.
Oh, okay. Maybe I haven't seen videos of this before.
It's worth looking up. It looks really cool. I bet you can shrink a balloon by putting it in your freezer as well.
Yeah, maybe that's what I've seen before.
But probably not as fully shriveled as the liquid right. nitrogen will get you. But anyway, things tend to contract. They shrink as they cool. And the same thing is true of this lava. So the surface cools faster than the part down below. And as the surface cools, it shrinks. But as this contraction is happening, it's also setting up solid at the same time. So the surface of the lava actually cracks as it shrinks. And so especially if the cooling is happening in a fairly evenly distributed way, what tends to happen is that these cracks occur around evenly spaced centers of surface contraction that occur at pretty fixed intervals. Sort of you could map them as a bunch of dots around the surface of the lava formation, and they'll be pretty evenly spaced out. And then the cracks form around those centers of cooling, and one of the easiest ways for those cracks to form is roughly into hexagons around those centers. And as the cracks form on the surface, the lava mass continues cooling and the cracks propagate vertically down into the center of the mass, forming these columns. And so eventually the mass cools and solidifies entirely, and we're left with columnar basalt, like we find at the Giant's Causeway. It all started with cracks on the surface from the cooling, and those cracks penetrated deeper and deeper as the mass of lava cooled.
And again, the result is just quite impressive. I've not been to one of these sites and seen it in person, but researching this a little bit and looking at some of these photographs, it makes me want to go.
I know I've seen some in person at a volcanic site in Oregon, and I can't recall if I've seen any anywhere else.
I know there is it's either an elaborate set or a location that's used in the TV series Raised by Wolves. that looks a lot like this. But mm-hmm. It's my understanding that that show is filmed in South Africa. So I don't know if there's a South African location that has a similar geography going on, or if that's all just a set or something. At any rate, it looks impressive in that show as well. If we were only in the office, I could just yell at Holly and ask her, since she does the podcast for Raised by Wolves.
Oh, yeah. She's got the hookup for all your basalt information.
All right. So that's the Giant's Causeway. That's a little geomythology. But we all know that it takes a little more than geomythology to make a mythic hero. We also need some sort of a monster battle. There has to be a slaying of some sort. If not a monster battle, then at least some sort of epic battle against another, you know, humanoid adversary. And in this case, we've got a pretty good one. We have the slaying of Aelin McMidna, a.k.a. The Burner. So,
I apologize, but that makes me think of him as a phone.
Well, my mind instantly went to the possibility that he's really into going to Burning Man in various regional burns. Uh-huh. And in a way, I mean, he is a musician. So we're told that Aelin McMidna was the fairy musician of the Tuatha De Danann, again, the powerful rulers of the other world. Now, Aelin is often described in this case as a dark figure with fiery breath, armed with both a supernatural harp that could lull mortals to sleep, as well as a poisoned spear. Now, the spear in this case, it doesn't seem, again, all of these things, it kind of depends on the telling and who's writing it down, but the spear doesn't seem to be poisoned in the traditional sense, though it also does sound like it will still poison you if you're stabbed with it, but more to the point, it emits poisonous fumes. So it's like it's pretty fabulous vision to have in your mind, this idea. Here's this is a dark, fiery monster being and has a harp in one hand and in the other this spear that is just smoking with poison. I'll also point out that if you start looking at illustrations of Aelin, you'll find it's kind of all over the place. Like there's a pretty famous one where Aelin looks like this kind of monolithic dark giant that kind of looks almost like a robot firing a blast of energy at Finn McCool. And I really love that image. And it kind of keeps with this idea of sort of the elder superpowers of the Tuatha De Danann. But then I also found one where Aelin McMidna just looks like a big, grotesque, demonoid goblin creature, shooting fire out of his pig-like nostrils.
Yeah, out of the nose. Like he's blowing his nose and fire's coming out. And he's got one big horn in the middle of his head.
Yeah. So I was reading a little bit more about Aelin in Carol Rose's Fairy Spirits, Leprechauns, and Goblins. She, of course, has a section where she discusses this particular Aelin and discusses how Aelin comes to play for the Palace of Tara, on the Festival of Samhain. And he becomes irate because he's playing this music on this magical harp. And what does it do? It puts everyone to sleep. That is kind of his or this harp's magical power. Really, shame on him. He should be expecting this, but he gets mad instead. So he's like, what are you doing? Falling to sleep during my beautiful music. He takes up his spear and he blasts three blasts of fire from his nostrils and he destroys the entire palace, the entire castle, just completely destroyed. So what do you do? Well, they rebuilt the castle. And then the same thing happened again the following year. I don't know why they booked Aelin again for the same gig that destroyed the castle. I don't think they booked him. I think the idea is he keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. Such is his rage at this place. Such is his lust for vengeance. And then every time he destroys the place, they have to build it back up. And this cycle repeats itself for more than two decades. After 23 years of this, Finn McCool steps up and defeats the beast. He comes in very much like it's very much like a Beowulf and Grendel situation. Here's the monster that keeps attacking the center of culture and civilization, and then eventually you need an outsider, a hero, to step in and really put the boots to the monster.
Now I'm thinking a big challenge with fighting this monster is going to be if he's got like a lute or a dulcimer or whatever that when he plays it, everybody goes to sleep. Can't he lull any conquering hero to sleep?
Yeah, but luckily Finn McCool, he's a sneaky one. I read that one of the tactics he employs here to make himself immune to the magic, he huffs the fumes from the spear, which are so one of the, like, the poisonous effects of it is that it keeps you from falling asleep. I'm not exactly sure how that would work, but in the story, that is what is said to have occurred. So he's immune to the music, and then he's able to get in close, battle the Aelin, and then stab the Aelin with his own poisonous spear, thus killing him. In some versions, he doesn't stab him with it. He just, like, holds it close enough to where he has to breathe in all of those poisonous fumes and then dies of the poison. Now, you referenced that book by James McKillop earlier, and McKillop points out that, yeah, this is basically the same model found in Beowulf as well. The oldest Aelin tales date back in writing to the 12th century, but there are also other accounts, and McKillop goes into these, of Finn doing battle with other fire-based creatures.
Hmm.
Now, according to Monaghan, this Aelin McMigna, is the most famous Aelin, but there was another Aelin of note as well. Aelin Trechin, the triple-headed Aelin, and it would attack the Irish cities Tara and Domain Macha. And sometimes it's described as male, sometimes it's described as female, and it's said to live in a cave and may be associated with the Morrigan. The difference between the two Aelins is, quote, difficult to discern.
You know, this is not unique to Irish legend and myth, but it does seem like there's a lot of sort of mytheme contagion, little elements of one mythic figure or story just bleeding over into the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I know we've been building up the thumb the whole time. You at home are thinking, like, when are they going to get to the thumb? We got to know about the thumb. So we are going to talk about that, but I think we need to save it for the next part in the series, which is going to be all thumb.
Yeah, all thumb, right in the mouth. It's, or in this case, in the ears, because you'll be listening. Yeah, so next episode, we will get into the story of Finn McCool and the Thumb of Knowledge, the different versions of it, how and to what extent it bleeds over into other hero stories. And, we'll maybe get into it a little bit of the potential science of the Thumb of Knowledge as well. And, hey, that episode's going to come out on St. Patrick's Day itself, so I think that's perfect.
Brilliant.
All right. In the meantime, if you would like to listen to other episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, it publishes on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. On Mondays, we do listener mail. On Wednesdays, we do an artifact or monster fact. And then on Fridays, we do Weird House Cinema. That's our time to set aside most serious concerns and just talk about a strange film.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the App and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.